Was there unanimity on that particular point, do you recall?
No, there wasn't.
Finally, I know that...
There wasn't unanimity on that particular point. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember how we divided about that, but the majority was of the view that... And the leadership, the man in the court who forced us to do our own studying, who forced us to the scholarship, was Chuck Levin. He became interested in this subject of apportionment, that is to say, the law of apportionment, in a fashion out of all proportion, probably to what he should have been in view of the workload. But I'm glad he did, because he forced us to become students of the subject, and we all studied it. And we agreed, by a substantial majority, that the Michigan provision forcing the Supreme Court, ultimately, to apportion the legislature was unconstitutional under the federal constitution. And so we threw it out. Now we don't have any plan before us except the Democratic plan, which is handed to us, and the Republican plan.
Now, excuse me, this is within the conference of the court that,
yes,
that you're describing the various steps. This was not determined in the issuance of a decision of the court sua sponte or anything like that. You're talking about how you got to the place where the, what I call it, the new rule was.
No, that's not right. We got to the place of having this discussion because a lawsuit was presented. A lawsuit was brought by some plaintiffs challenging the legality of the other guy's plan. The Democrats challenged the legality of the Republican plan, and the Republicans challenged the legality of the Democratic plan.
They'd already manufactured their plans and handed
right.
to the court, and
that's
then
right.
began the litigation.
So we had this vehicle before. We had a package to give us a basis to act. So to make a long story much, much shorter, if it's not too late, our court decided that we would commission the recently retired director of elections of the state of Michigan, Bernie Apol. They would request him to come out of retirement and to head up a team of experts who would use computers newly available and much more finely hone the statistics about population and other relevant data in the state of Michigan to come up with an apportionment plan which would be blind to the preferences of the Democratic Party and of the Republican Party, and which would, as nearly as possible, comply with the United States Supreme Court's principle of one man, one vote in the Michigan legislature, the House particularly, but would meet some other criteria. We did not want to have townships divided.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't want to have counties divided if we could afford it. So we commissioned Brother Apol to go about his business, call on his expertise, make it all through to come back with a plan that met these criteria which we laid down, which we thought were utterly devoid of partisan political consideration or influence, and would give Michigan a chance to have a legislative apportionment process which would create districts in which there are approximately the same number of people.
Were these criteria, was there strife over working them out?
No, there really wasn't. It was amazing because we were not driven, not influenced. In fact, we were the counter-influence. Well, let me start again. The reason it wasn't difficult to work out the criteria was because the goal was simple. The goal was a plan which as most nearly as possible provided for one man, one vote, legislature in Michigan, and which would not disturb existing political boundaries, cities, townships, counties. We knew that to get one man, one vote, we're probably going to have to cut some counties. But if we did that, we wanted to cut it perfectly in half, for example. But we didn't know what the computer would spew out as to the mathematics. But we knew one thing. We knew we were not the least bit concerned as to how it came out. We didn't care whether this plan would likely result in a change in the Democrat-Republican balance in the state legislature. And I remember, very conscientious that we did not want any information from Bernie Apol until his package was completed about how it was probably going to impact the legislature. I was never prouder of a group of people in my life than our court, Ultimately, we got the package produced. It was imperfect in the sense that in order to get as close to one man, one vote as mathematically tolerated by the United States Supreme Court decisions, we were going to have to cut some political divisions, some counties. We were going to have to cut them in half. There could have been a debate in our court about which counties get cut, because that could have an impact on whether Republicans or Democrats got elected. I remember we sent Apol back to the computer board again and told him to strive more mightily now to try to avoid dividing existing political units and to come back with a formula. I lose track now with the passage of time as to what the formula was precisely, but he came back with it, and our court looked at it and studied it. We discovered that it was going to change the that was probably going to change the composition of the legislature. And to we didn't know which way or whether it would at all. As it turned out, we speculated it would probably result in an increase in Republican representation in the Michigan House. That would not have resulted in a shift of control politically. But it came as a complete surprise to the seven of us what it would do. And so we discussed the plan mathematically. We had a number of hearings in our conference room with Apol, with his charts and the computer readouts. We had an assistant on his staff who did logarithms and square roots and mathematical computations. You were in on this at the time.